Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show rolls on, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Delicious Harvest Ridge Coffee at home, at work, or on the go at your local convenience stores. All the beans are always hand roasted. We are joined this morning by Laura Sievert. It is a Wednesday morning, and it's time for Arts Quincy. And all this morning, we've been announcing the Dogwood Royalty. So if you missed the news this morning, Laura's going to run down these four youngsters who will be wearing the crowns in the Dogwood Parade.
Wait a second. You already announced it without me? I thought I was going to break the news here.
We did break the news. We just didn't wait for you.
Just didn't wait for me to do it. That's fabulous. We had such good entries for the Dogwood Royalty Contest. You know, their assignment was to tell us what the future of Adams County would look like. And we had some just really funny ones, some really hopeful ones. We really enjoyed, and it's impossible to score these things, but we really enjoyed watching them. So our little prince is James Jimmy Sparks, and our princess is Presley Johnson. Our little king is Dean Spoonmore, and our little queen is Samaria Joshi. And they're going to ride in the Dogwood Parade in our vehicle. I think we're getting giant Ford Broncos from Jim City Ford. Really excited about that. But then the royalty court is also going to be in the parade as well. We've got two royal escorts and then a slew of runner-ups that we just couldn't pick from. And so we got everybody tiaras and said, come on down.
Come on down.
We'll be out in the front of the Dogwood Parade. Look for us there.
Okay. This Thursday, you've got another blood drive, and again, you're in the top 1%, actually top probably 99.9%
of all
blood drives nationwide. Think about that, folks. If you want to be part of greatness, Thursday, April 24th from 11 to 4, show up at the Oakley-Lindsay Center.
Wait, we have had a change in location. So it is still 11 to 4, and it's still our blood drive. We are moved out to the American Red Cross facility. It's the Kohl's Food Show, and we decided we decided y'all couldn't park if you came to the Oakley-Lindsay Center. So we just we had to move it sort of at the last minute. We plan our blood drives more than a year in advance, so we just moved it. If you have already got an appointment, you'll be getting a text about this. But if you have not, please join us at the American Red Cross Donor Facility. It's out
23rd and Cook's Lane.
Oh, way to know it off the top of your head.
Yep, 23rd and Cook's Lane. All you do is go down Cook's Lane, you know, and turn there at 23rd, right by the bank, and then
right,
you go back, and you'll see the Red Cross headquarters.
So, but we will still have our Yum Factory treats.
Yum Factory treats. I will still
be out there, so please come and donate blood. It is a terrific feeling to help people out.
Okay, now, we do want to say that the George M. Irwin Art Awards, you've still got a few days, but not much.
Not much time left, and I really, really need you guys to think about the teacher awards. We got two teacher awards. One is City of Quincy, and one is Rural Teacher Awards. So if you know an art or music teacher that is, or theater teacher that is knocking it out of the park, and you want to see them recognized, that can be high school, that can be grade school, that can be collegiate, any of those things. We need an arts teacher of the year, fine arts teacher of the year in City of Quincy and in the rural schools. Would love to recognize some folks. It's a real quick application. Just hop on artsquincy.org and fill out that application. We're also still accepting Lifetime Achievement Award nominees, Arts Nonprofit of the Year nominees, and Arts Access Leader of the Year nominees. So please get those in. They're due Friday.
Okay, they are due Friday. And real quick, a preview, and we'll talk more about it next week, the Arts Quincy fundraiser at the York Street Happy Hour at Dick Brothers Brewery.
Yeah, we're doing a quick little happy hour fundraiser just to get the word out about what we're doing at Arts Quincy. It is limited in tickets, so it's a smaller area than we're kind of used to, so get those tickets now. We're featuring Eric McKay, is doing music. The fabulous Lane Schottenkirk is doing a Verve wine tasting. You can get a regular ticket, which includes three wines in the wine tasting, for $25, so we're making it nice and affordable. And then we are doing a VIP ticket where you can try all eight of the wines for $40. Check that out now on artsquincy.org. Like I said, it's limited tickets. We'll have some hors d'oeuvres and small bites. We have a couple of small auction items, but it's hopefully to, you know, beef up our kids program and our summer program. So would love to see you there. It is May 30th, Friday night, and should be a lot of fun.
Okay, thank you very much. Steve Luton, an author. Speaking of arts, he's up next, so stay tuned. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD on this Wednesday, April 23rd. The Mary Griffith Show rolls on. We have a new author in our midst today. Steve Luton Sr. is here. And many of you know Steve for a variety of reasons, but nobody really knows you as an author. So congratulations on your first book.
Well, thank you.
Be a Great One.
Yeah.
I loved it. I read it, and I wouldn't just say that. Now, I have a question. Did we ever work together? I don't think we ever worked together.
We did not.
We always worked with each other as friendly competitors.
I think we met in somewhere in the area of 83, 84, something like that.
Let's try 81, 82, don't you think, with Mr. Chuck?
Well, I didn't come to Quincy to Channel 7 until 83.
Well, then we met in 83.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I thought I met you earlier than that with Mr. Chuck when you came to town one day.
It's very possible that we met earlier, but I didn't come back to Quincy until 83.
Okay. Steve Luton, famous sportscaster, so famous that no one station could control his talent.
He
ran out of stations.
KTVO, KHQA, WGEM. Then I went back to WGEM. So maybe there's a second lap. I don't know.
But anyway, after being a sportscaster for many, many years, he left because you had speaking of Be a Great One, I think you said to me and to other people, I had a decision to make. I could either spend every Friday and Saturday night telling about the greatness of other people's children, or I could get a real job in the real world and enjoy the activities of my own children. Is that about right?
Yes, it absolutely is right. My kids were 14 and 11, and I knew that the one was going to be driving within a couple of years. And I'd always heard that once they get the car and start driving, they're gone. And so it just seemed to be the right thing to do, and looking back, it was the right thing to do. So I left WGEM. Right before 9/11, like 2 weeks before 9/11.
Oh my gosh!
Which I mean, from a journalism standpoint, not being in a newsroom that day was difficult, because that has never left. The desire to tell stories,
right,
and to be involved in that business has never left. And going back last year was such a treat, because I never really thought I was going to get another crack at it, and it was fantastic. I loved it.
By the way, there's an opening soon for a morning show host here on WTAD as I get to my advanced dotage. So if you'd like to come back and fill in when I'm gone, and then maybe just fill in when I am retired, you feel free to.
I'll write that down.
Submit that. You don't look as excited as I thought you would be. We're going to talk today, though, after a great career in sports journalism, like you said, the curiosity to always know, the curiosity to tell a story never leaves you. The other thing that happens is every community has somebody who goes on to fame, and so one of the most famous people out of Bowling Green, Missouri,
yeah,
is a guy who nobody really knows his real name, but everybody knows him as the wrestler Kane.
Yeah.
You knew him when he was just a high school athlete.
I knew him a little bit in high school, but I certainly knew him when he came to Quincy to play for Cheryl Hanks. He came here to play basketball, played 2 years here at Quincy, but then when Cheryl retired, he went on to Kirksville. Well, I knew that's where I went to school, so I knew a bunch of people up there, so I continued to follow him. And on his last day, he had played, I believe he played football at Kirksville his last year.
A basketball standout.
Well, he was a basketball standout, but I think he played football the next year. And I went up and did a story with him, and we had gotten to know each other through the years. I had gone up and did a story with him about, what are you going to do next? And he said, well, I got a tryout with the Chicago Bears, but I don't know that my knee is going to hold up. I'm not sure it's going to work. And so I'm thinking about professional wrestling. And I thought, that is the dumbest thing I've ever. I knew nobody that went into that. Now, I used to watch it as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling at the Chase,
And they used to have him down. Well, you're not too young. Remember, my dad used to run into him at WGEM. Those guys would come in.
Right, right.
Bulldog, Bob Brown, and I'm going to rip your
right,
face
right.
off. And dad would go, they'd be all sitting in the green room laughing and drinking coffee, and then they'd go, I'm going to rip your face off. I'm going to take your neck and spit down it. And dad'd be like, these guys were hysterical. They'd all be joking and laughing, and
yeah.
Then when the time came for the show, I'm going to kill you.
So Glenn told me that, and I thought, that is crazy. And I I had no clue how it happened, anything. No idea. Now, let's go 40 years down the road. On the day my book was launched, which was a week ago today, he happened to be in St. Louis speaking. And so I went down to hear him. You know, he sounds like a big-time politician. Now, he's the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, which I think basically is Knoxville. Okay, he's the mayor.
How can he be the mayor of the county? Is it like Indianapolis, where the county and the city are the same?
I think that it's something like that, yeah. Because officially he's the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, but I believe that's Knoxville, and he is extremely popular. He is very knowledgeable on issues, and at the event last week, they brought out Missouri Senator Schmidt. Eric Schmidt was there. And when you listen to Eric Schmidt talk and Glenn talk, they were in the same league. Glenn was so impressive in person.
So it's interesting because you have seen in your career many people in a sports world do go on to find secondary fame and fortune as politicians.
Well, I tell you what, Mary, I believe the sports world prepares you more for success later on than anything else. So all these kids we have in our area that are battling and working hard and working 5 years before they ever get to high school, all of these kids and their coaches who lead them are preparing them for life. And so at the very end of my book, there's a thing that's called About the Author, and I put in there people who, you know, we see the people on TV, and we see politicians, and we hear politicians all the time. The people who have inspired me in my life are these people who have been around here, who I've seen them fight through adversity and come out on the other end. And so I mentioned a whole bunch of local athletes and coaches who I find to be heroes, more so than these people we see on network news. You know, I've seen these kids actually do things. And when I was putting it together, I thought I want to include everybody. And I certainly didn't get everybody in there, but I tried to remember an awful lot of people that really have impressed me. And so there's a bunch of people from around the area that I do throw in at the end.
Oh, there are. There are a lot of local people, and you certainly have known a lot of local people. And because of your sports casting, you actually got to meet your wife, who back in the day was a female athlete, really when female athletics were not all that popular. Nowadays, girls kind of have an equal playing field as far as guys, you know, as far as with the men. I mean,
absolutely. Back in the day, there was a coach here in town named Harry Phillips, and he ran the Jets program.
Which was girls softball.
As impressively as any coach ever. I mean, he ran it. This is his way. This is how you do it. You learn how to do everything the right way. You don't cut corners. You do your job. And all those girls that played for Harry Phillips, all of them today will tell you he was the one that showed us how to live life. And so, yeah, I met Amy. I covered a Quincy College softball game against, I believe, Loris here in town, and the winner got to go to the national tournament. And she won the game. The Quincy won the game. And so I told her, I said, I want to talk to you tomorrow. I want to do an interview before you leave town. She said, that's great. So I talked to her the next day. She said at the end of the interview, well, I think maybe we're going to get to know each other a little bit because your station, which was Channel 7 at the time, they've hired me to join the news team when I get back. And so on her first day on the job, they asked me if I would show her how to operate the camera the next day. I said, well, I'm covering the Illinois High School State Softball Championship in Pekin. Q&D was playing. And they said, well, would you like to go? She goes, well, I really would. My little sister is the starting shortstop. And before we got to Pekin, we knew.
That you were in love.
I knew I was going to spend the rest of my life with her. First day.
That's very
so we
touchy.
we just hit 40 years.
The things that you can do covering women's softball.
Oh, but I was smooth. I'm telling you know.
Well, that was interesting for you though, because you could have got into a dangerous situation there with that coworker.
Why, what have you heard? What have you heard about her?
Who made the first move?
Oh, it had to be her.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
How
about
would
that.
It not be her?
How would it not be her? I know. Steve Luton joins me. He is a locally famous broadcaster. He has sold insurance for a while. He's
no.
Got a lot. Nope.
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 That's a different guy. That's a different guy, different spelling down in...
No, you work for the Western Catholic
Union. But I didn't sell insurance.
Well, what did you do there?
I was in charge of communications.
Communication.
Their charity work.
PR charity.
Yeah.
Okay. You work for an insurance company as a PR.
Fraternal Benefit Society.
Fraternal Benefit Society,
yeah,
right.
Right over there.
Okay. One of the things that was struck me in your book, and jokingly you said you may not like every part of this book, Mary, because on the front of it, Be a Great One, you have an homage to Mr. Donald Trump with a long, extra long red tie.
Who you love.
But J.D. Vance, you've got a bromance going with J.D. Vance. Have you ever met him?
No, I have not met him. I have not met any of the people politically that are in the book, except Glenn Jacobs.
Right. But it's amazing to me that J.D. Vance is so on your radar screen. What is it about J.D. Vance that just hits all the buttons for Steve Luton as far as greatness?
Well,
he's our vice president of the United States, in
yes,
case few people
that,
don't
that,
know
that,
who
that
he
helps.
Is. I just assumed everybody knew, and then the journalist in me went, Mary, people may not know who you're talking about.
I pay attention to this
you
stuff.
You do pay attention.
I watch it. But this past summer, when Donald Trump started putting other characters onto his team, they caught my eye. Donald Trump does not talk much about children and their future. He looks at issues and here's how to solve them. He didn't say much about the future for kids. And this book is hopefully going to motivate and inspire some young people to believe that they can go get what they want and how to start. That's the whole idea of the book for me. When J.D. Vance started talking, he has young children, and you would hear different kinds of things coming from him. So why is he in the book more? Because he said things that I thought were appropriate to the book more. You know, there's certainly Donald Trump stuff. There's a lot of
right.
J.D. Vance stuff, but there's a lot. I wanted to include
Rathaswamy. I can't pronounce half their names, but yeah, I know who you mean. I mean, these are major characters in our political world today, major leaders in our business world today,
yes,
who have a vision that you see kind of comes out of that sports coaching aspect of life.
No question. And one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and this is kind of what happens when you do this stuff. 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I thought, I wonder if Glenn ever got involved with, ever got involved with Trump. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I start doing searches, and then I see that they were together, they campaigned together, that, you know, that I knew Trump had some associations with other wrestlers and
well, the blonde
fighters.
Guy, what's his name that doesn't have any hair? Oh,
Hulk Hogan,
yeah.
And so I knew of some of those connections. Well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I start realizing that Kane had done some appearances with him. And so that I started feeling really good about it. Then I thought, okay, now I've got his number. Should I ask him to write the foreword? And he was great.
Yeah, that's one thing that you said in the book, and I think it's so true. These people are still just people. And he still grew up in Bowling Green and remembers and was probably very grateful when Steve Luton put something about he was the top scorer of the game, and that made the local news, and boy, Grandma got to hear that, and everything was exciting.
Yeah.
People are people, and if they change a lot when they become adults, they're not the kind of people you want to be around. You want to keep the groundedness. So one time in full makeup, you know, where he wasn't supposed to be Glenn, he was supposed to be Kane.
Yeah.
He's like, hi, Steve, how you doing?
He showed up at a car dealership down in Bowling Green, and there was hundreds of kids. They were everywhere. In fact, you know, last week in St. Louis, he probably signed 200 autographs after the thing. The people love him. And so back in the day, all these kids, they came from everywhere. And he was in full makeup. You know, Kane doesn't talk at that point. He wasn't talking at all. And so he's in full makeup, and I sneak up to get some close-up shots of him autographing. And so he's got the mask on. He hasn't said a word to anybody. And so I hear, hi, Steve, how you doing? You know, and it made me laugh. I was laughing. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is so good. But no, he is a great guy, and he knows these people differently than I ever will.
Well, Donald Trump has such an affiliation with wrestling, and again, now if you're more of a detractor, everybody knows he's not my favorite person in the world, Donald Trump, but he is my president. I respect him for being the leader of our country. I certainly consider myself a patriot, and I, you know, I'm certainly glad that, you know, we have a democracy where we can elect our elected officials. But, you know, the intrigue there is that Donald Trump was a TV star on a reality show, which we all know is a little bit fake, you know, wrestling. Oh my God, that is so fake. I mean, yes, you have to be in physical shape to get bounced around like that, but we know who going into the ring, who's going to win and who's going to lose. And so there's a showmanship aspect of this that is interesting to me because J.D. Vance, back to him, he wrote a book long before he was, quote, famous or on anybody's radar screen, just about growing up. And I'll draw a parallel, not politically, don't freak out, between Jesse Jackson and J.D. Vance. Both had pretty strange and trying circumstances growing up. Both were able to get out of those circumstances through someone giving them a hand up. With J.D., he joined the military, right? So he got out of the impoverishment and the drug culture that his mother was in because of his grandmother being there. Jesse Jackson, very similar. He got a scholarship to the University of Illinois and was able to change his life. And one thing that Jesse Jackson, one of his famous statements that I always cling to is, I may have been born in the ghetto, but the ghetto wasn't born in me. Now, like him or not politically, he did rise from pretty bad circumstances to, at least at one time, you know, he got obviously made some big mistakes at the end, but he rose to a position of prominence. J.D. Vance becoming the vice president of the United States has to be one of the most improbable stories.
Yeah.
Because right now, and we've seen it, I used to say Jimmy Carter at least had some money because his family owned that farm. Bill Clinton was the last president that we ever had that really had no money. Now, he might have a lot of money now, but he sure as heck didn't have any money when he was coming up.
Right.
And so you look now where we're just a world of billionaires, and that's who rules the world. J.D. Vance just slips himself right in there, and now he's, you know, the second one of the most powerful people in the United States of America.
It's an improbable story.
Yeah,
I make the statement, it didn't matter who won the election, because Mary Griffith wants her next 4 years to be successful, no matter who won.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want the failure of anyone just because I don't support them politically.
Every college graduate getting ready to go out, by the way, I think this is something that would be decent for...
It's almost like Dr. Seuss, the places you'll go.
Yeah, well, I think that whoever, even locally, whoever wins the election locally, you want them to be successful because then our community is successful. So to me, I was hoping, could I write something that would inspire young people to say, I whether I agree with who won or not, or like who I won or not, this is still my time to shine.
Right.
Go get it.
Go
and
get
it. That's what this is.
And all those people went out and got it.
They did. And they come from all kinds of different areas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just political people. And I'm not going to write anything that have sports people involved.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is sports related. We know that. And some of it is political. But the idea is... we're going to talk about how you can get the book because we're running out of time. But Steve Luton looks at things through a lens of just a normal Hannibal-raised kid who married a Quincy-raised girl, right? Amy's from here.
Yeah.
And so these are people in the Midwest who each in their own way have, both of them have become very successful. And Steve thought about, I want to write this book about the successful people I've met and some people I haven't met but who I admire because I like the way they're doing things. And we all know there's somebody in our life. For me, Herb Wellman. You know, when Amy was out at Harry Phillips Field or whatever, it probably wasn't maybe named that at that time, but whatever. You know, while every kid has somebody outside their family unit that is helping them, there's always somebody who's outside your family unit who's taking those values that your family's trying to instill and magnifying them and helping you work on them. And those people are the stepping stones to our success, whatever you measure success as. And you can be that for somebody else too. And you can encourage your own children to find those people outside of your family unit. So how can we get Be a Great One by Steve Luton?
Okay, there's several ways. Okay, and I'll get to them real quick. Right now, you go two blocks away, and Enchanted Books has them. Okay, we've got them there this week, and that's a great store. So please go over there and buy some. You also can go on my website, which is very easy. It's Steve Luten, LOOTENSR Senior, SteveLutenSenior.com, and there is a link to Amazon, to Barnes and Noble, to Kindle. You know, so you can get them those ways. Those are the easiest ways to get them. I hope people like the book. You know, there's not any policy in here. I don't talk any political policy.
No, you
that's
talk
not
about
what
people you admire who happen to all be of a conservative bent.
You sure? All?
I didn't see Kamala quoted in there.
She didn't say anything inspiring.
Oh, wow. And, I walked into that one.
And the other guy only mumbles. So, I mean, you know.
Steve Luten. Senior. You know, it's interesting. All your life you were Steve Luten, and now you have to be identified as Steve Luten Senior.
Because
your kid had been a nobody.
Well, my son is quite accomplished as an actor and a teacher. He doesn't agree with me on everything politically, and I didn't want this to burden him. So I wanted his friends to never say, "Hey, you wrote this book. What's up?" So I took the pressure off him because I put that on there.
Enchanted Books. Also, just a little tip: make sure they have it at the Historical Society. They have a whole shelf over there for local authors.
I did not know that.
Well, now
Thank you. Thank you.
So when you become rich and famous, who started? Ron Kincher says I'll always be his first interview.
Oh, by the way, Ron was very helpful to me. And the publisher is from here in Quincy, Indies United Publishing, with Lisa Orban. She was extremely, and still is, extremely helpful. Those are local people that helped me a lot. And Lisa is amazing. She's terrific.
Okay. Well, we've got to get to our next guest.
I know.
And we've got to get to the farm market.
How do you only book me for 10 minutes?
And yet you stayed 20. this report brought to you by Rex Battery and Corteva. If anybody's still left in the green room, we'll get to them in just a minute.
I sent her home.
We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. One of the bad things about being the third guest on the Mary Griffith Show is we never get enough time. Get right up to your microphone. I forgot to tell you that you have to actually speak very closely. Get right on top of it. See how I'm putting through the gunner sight there? Do that. Can you put yourself through the gunner sight? Mm-hmm. No, now you're looking there, but look at me through the gunner sight.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. We have the coordinator for the Teresa Adams Home, Angie Peters, here, and Shelley Steinkamp is here. She knows how to do it. And so we're going to talk about the Teresa Adams Home. Let's just give a little blur, because you've got an event coming up on Thursday, June 5th, that I think is one of the best charity events of all because of the venue. Freeze Ornamental Nursery, 3100 North 18th at the corner of 18th and Cook's Lane, opens up their beautiful gardens and their greenhouses to let the Teresa Adams House come in and have a fundraiser there. So mark your calendars for Thursday, June 5th. And please tell us, Angie Peters, what's going to happen that day?
So we will have appetizers, tasting samples, and live entertainment. Our live entertainment this year is Liz Bentley. It'll take place from 5:30 to 7:30.
The food is always fantastic.
Yes.
Always fantastic. And there are adult beverages there, too.
Correct.
Okay. And the great thing about it is you can buy anything you want. Freeze Ornamental Nursery is open, so if you see something you want, they'll also have some charity games and some other ways for you to participate in the Teresa Adams House. We have some PSAs running here about the Teresa Adams House, and it's hard to explain it in 60 seconds. I struggle with that whenever I do something for you to try to explain to people what it is. It's kind of like the Ronald McDonald House. Most of us are familiar at least with what that concept is, that if you go somewhere and you need medical care and you have to be close to the hospital, this is a place where you can stay. And that's exactly what the Teresa Adams House is, isn't it?
It is. It's a little bit of a smaller version, and we can have anybody there that's receiving health care in Quincy. So it's not just Blessing Hospital. A lot of people tend to not know that.
Well, even Chaddock, if you're visiting a child mm-hmm. that's in the residential unit at Chaddock, or if you have someone on the Illinois Veterans Home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for people to come to town to support people who are under medical care, or for people with medical care who mm-hmm. they say, this is outpatient surgery, but you're probably not going to be able to drive yourself home that day.
Yes.
You just check yourself in to, which is probably one of the nicest, quote, hotels mm-hmm. in Quincy.
That's what most of our guests say.
Yeah.
The cheapest and nicest.
It has a concierge and mm-hmm. everything like that. But again, I know that the Sharling family and McDonald's gave you some money, but you're not supported by the McDonald's Corporation, so you're not the Ronald McDonald House. You need funding.
Yes.
You need volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about that. And Shelley, you jump in anytime you want, because I know you've been a very loyal volunteer mm-hmm. for the Teresa Adams Home. There's always a wish list. What's on the wish list now, Shelley O'Brien?
All right. So we have a lot of kitchen needs, like laundry detergent, the coffee, the little Keurig.
The little K-cup.
Right. Insulated cups, snacks. We need lots of snacks. So we always are running out of snacks, you know, because people a lot of times show up, you know, with nothing. So they like to have a little snack. Disinfectant spray. We need Swifter wet or dusting pads, disinfectant wipes. This is one that a lot of people don't think about, but when you go to a hotel and you don't use your little size shampoos and lotions, please grab those, save them, drop them off to us. Those come in so handy. The same thing with toothpaste. You know, even just the little tubes of toothpaste, that works great. Shaving cream and razors, dryer sheets, single servings of coffee and creamer, liquid hand soap, and any kind of microwavable shelf-stable meals, like the little macaroni and cheese or the ramen noodles, you know, those little things that are so easy for people to warm up. Just
need boiling water and you've got a cup of soup with ramen noodles.
Right, yeah. Right.
And again, I've had to use a home like this. You race to the bedside of that person. I mean, you're not worried mm-hmm. about what clothes, I mean, heck,
right.
Some people end up in hospital scrubs, you know, because right. they really don't have any clothes while their clothes are being washed. So sometimes you race there
right.
to the hospital. And it's so nice to have the home right there on the campus of Blessing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we do have laundry facilities.
Yeah, you have laundry there. So
mm-hmm. if they only have the clothes on their back, they can get a, you know, clean up. And the kitchen facility and the living room area where they can sit and relax and watch some TV, it's homey. It's nice. It's clean. It's beautiful. And our volunteers are so welcoming. Mm-hmm. So
the list of things, and again, you know, we all go, when we travel, we get those little bottles of shampoo and those little individual bars of soap. Just bring them home. You know, they give you a new one every day, whether you need it or not. Just throw it in your suitcase and drop it by the hospitality house. Where is the Teresa Adams Home? What's the address?
We are located at 630 North 11th Street. And like you said, it's very close to Blessing Hospital.
Right. And you'll see it. It's well marked. And, of course, mm-hmm. it's all handicap accessible. Volunteers. What kind of volunteers do you need?
We need volunteers that can work the front desk, the registration desk, and also be able to do laundry, help clean the rooms. We do have a cleaner that comes daily, but they kind of do the pre-clean for him. Just welcome our guests and show them around the house.
So Blessing Hospital, I think, partners with you. So they actually take care of the heavy janitorial
yes.
stuff, because
mm-hmm.
you want to keep it sanitary and clean, much
yes,
like a
right.
hospital room, although it's a hotel room. But
mm-hmm.
so, but light cleaning, you know, things like making sure the tchotchkes are dusted and making sure that, you know, there's everything that people need. And
right.
and I imagine, you know, you might have to make a bed every once in a while or
yes.
do something like that. Again,
mm-hmm.
the major, and do some laundry. And just be there to greet people
mm-hmm.
when they come in. Now, in the middle of the night, Blessing, again, will take care of that for most of the time. The security guard will escort you over mm-hmm. there. I think unless you've really needed this, you really can't comprehend how critically important something like this is mm-hmm. and how lucky we are to have this
mm-hmm.
in Quincy. So how do you get your money? I mean, where does this money come from, Angie Peters?
We run off of donations. We have a lot of wonderful guests that send donations. Our fundraisers also help us out. A lot of board members, all donated.
And the Teresa Adams House was named after a major donation by her family. And again, it's something that we hope nobody... In a way, we hope nobody ever needs it, but it's
right.
constantly full, I
yes.
bet, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We like to tell people we hope to not see them again, but, you know, if we do, we're there.
Right. And this is a much bigger home. And how long has the new home been open?
Is it 2 years?
2 years now. It's been two.
It's at least two. I was thinking
three.
It might be three. Yeah.
It's been a while, but it's still, to me, brand new. But I'm just going to comment that if volunteers in the past, when they had to do any kind of laundry services, they had to go down in the basement, because I was one of those
yeah.
volunteers. We had three floors. I want to tell you, It's all on one floor. So if you think, oh, I can't go up and down steps, don't worry. You do not have to go up and down steps.
It's all handicap accessible.
And we have the most wonderful volunteers that will help train you. So it's not like you're going to go in there and all of a sudden you're going to be sitting there by yourself. And a lot of our volunteers will team up either with their best friends. You know, we've had best friends that sit there and when they're not busy, they played cards together or visited. It was their way to reconnect every week. We have a lot of spouse teams, you know, that volunteer. But if it's just you, that's fine too. So we welcome anybody and everybody. And you can just come and check it out. If you're not sure, maybe this may not be what you want to do, but come and check it out and just walk through the facility. You know,
yeah,
we're happy
to
show you.
Why sit down and do your knitting all by yourself when you can watch TV and knit
absolutely
and crochet at the hospitality house? And then when somebody comes in, you're there to help them and to let them know. Where's the number, Angie, if we want to volunteer? How can we get in touch with you?
You can call 217-228-3022. That is the house number. Or we always have a cell phone, and it is 217-430-0958.
You can also check out our Facebook page, and that will give you all the information. Or you can just Google Teresa Adams House, and all of our information will pop up, as well as how to buy tickets for our fundraisers. You know, there's a QR code and something cool on there that I'm not familiar with how to set up. But all the young people know how to do
like
that.
Like me.
Yeah. But all the information.
All the information for the garden party Thursday, June 5th is there. It's from 5:30 to 7:30. Great food and great entertainment. Thank you so very much for stopping by today. We'll talk more about the garden party closer to that event. That does it for the Mary Griffith Show today.